you've ever been to the Jubilee, I think I'm going to do like Tommy Steele's. One of his famous quotes up there, he said, "I think I'll just bunt and get on base and let Preacher David knock a home run and get me on in here." It's always a privilege. I always say it. It's always a privilege to be here, to stand behind this pulpit. Preacher just preached a great message. I'll get my mic here on. There we go. He preached a great message right there, and I was sitting there thinking about it and not trying to add to his message one bit and not trying to add one thing to it. But it made me think about Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, and in verse 8 he said, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? And he said, then I said, here am I, send me." Amen. Who's going to stand in that hedge? And I can stand up here all day long, and he can too, and say, who's going to stand up here? But it's got to be a personal decision that you say, here I am, God, send me today. Amen. And that's what I want to be. I told you, I just got through preaching Wednesday night. I think it was this past Wednesday night, or it might have been the week before that. My mind's going crazy. But I preached about our dash and having a dash on our tombstone. And I said, I want to be sold out for God, and I do. I want to be sold out for God. Y'all keep a praying for me that God open doors. I don't see myself being a cop the rest of my life. There's too much of God's work that needs to be done here on this earth. And yeah. I want to stand before my Savior and not say I was a good cop. I want to say I was a good servant.
Yeah, man.
And I see, and I want people to come up to me in heaven and say, I appreciate you coming to me and telling me the way of salvation.
Right. Yeah,
I want to see that. I thought when I first got into the police business, I said, well, here I can speak to people going through the jail. I can try to get them, try to talk to them. But I want to get them before I get to that point. To the point where they go into a prison, to a point where they're going to jail. I want to reach them before they ever make that mistake. So I want to tell them about Christ. And the ones going to jail, you can ask Preacher David, they need God just as much as anybody else. But I want to reach people before they ever get to that point in their life. I want them to make a difference in their life. And I want them to be able to come to church and have freedoms and be able to go out and do the same things we do.
Right.
I just come to church tonight and we had a good choir practice, and I'm kind of excited tonight. It's just, I've had a good time tonight. I've enjoyed myself. I was up here joking around with the preacher. We just had a good time. I was telling him in the prayer room there, I was telling Brother David, and I told the preacher there, we like a good old cookie there. He's a good outside, a good sweet outside, and he's a good other outside, and I'm just a feeling in the center. That's all I'm going to be tonight. If you'll take your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 8, we're going to go to a very familiar scripture here. And this will be the first time I've ever preached without an outline. He told me this afternoon he's got to give me a little bit more leeway than what he did this afternoon. That's kind of quick. But the Bible says be instant in season and out of season. So I have to be ready. But I was sitting back here talking with Daddy, and I had some thoughts. I had a thought in my mind. And me and Daddy got to talking about this Ethiopian eunuch here, and the situation. Chapter 8, verse 26, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopian, and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scriptures which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so he opened opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scriptures, and preached unto him Jesus. I wanted that you to look at that verse right there, verse 35. He said that he opened up his mouth and began in the same scriptures to preach unto him Jesus. Many times when we look at the scripture, many times when you hear it preached, we preach about the eunuch and the situation around his life and him being lost. And I actually looked at got to thinking about this one day as he was in the chariot, and I kind of imagine it, if he's standing here reading in this chariot, and I was imagining somebody else was steering it for him. And I thought about a message one day, and I hope God allowed me to do it. But I was thinking about this Ethiopian eunuch on cruise control to hell. Here he was in his chariot. Somebody was leading it for him. And many people in the earth today, many people in the world today, is on cruise control straight to hell. And I thought about this, but then as me and Daddy got back here talking, we got to looking at the scriptures. And like I said, most people talk about the Ethiopian eunuch. But many of us forget about what he said down here. He said he opened his mouth and began at the same scriptures and preached to him Jesus.
Amen.
What a great message. Any message you can preach. Any time I get behind here, I try to do my best for God. But what a great message it is just to preach Jesus. And that's what I want to do here tonight. I just want to stand here tonight and tell you a little bit about my Savior. I'm kind of excited. Like I said, I've had a great night. I've just enjoyed myself. We got to sing that song, God Saves an Old Sinner, and it always amazed. They talked about it being amazed here, and I'm always amazed at what God did in my life. It's amazing to me that God Himself, the very God who created this earth, the very God who stood up and stepped out onto nothing and formed everything, put each planet where it should be, put a sun in a center, the very God who did that and sat each one and knew right where to put earth and knew where to put her orbit where she would stay, where we could live on it. Even the one that put Jupiter out there, the biggest planet out there, and just I could just imagine him taking his finger in that little storm and just swirling it and getting it started. The very God who did that, the very God, I want you to see him tonight. Jesus Christ was in that time. He says God in the beginning, God. And then a little bit later on, he said, let us create him in our image. So Jesus Christ was there from the beginning. And I just want to talk about my God, the very God that come, who created all this, the very one that sat down and made each animal that we see today, all the birds out here, all the whales, and all the even these chickens and pigs that we hear Hunter talking about. God sat there and formed each one of them. The very God who did that, and one that took the dust out of the ground and made man and just breathed in his nostril, and he woke him up and brought him alive. And he knew he was lonely and made him sleep. After he done come by and he named every animal.
Right.
And when I get to heaven, I want to ask him why he named a platypus the platypus. I want to ask him some of them questions. But the very one who named all, allowed Adam to do that and put him asleep, knew he needed a help meet.
Right. Yeah.
Took a rib out of his side and made him a woman.
Yes,
the very God who did that, that was the very God who we talk about in Matthew, who come and came to this earth. And I can imagine Mary laying there going through labor. And our God who created this earth, here he is now, babe. And I can see Mary swaddling him and holding him, and like Terry Lynn does her baby, and just hugging him up. God who created this earth, Jesus.
Yes.
She's holding him, looking at him in his face.
Amen.
Savior of the world,
oh, yeah.
He's come. And I want to just tell you about my Jesus as he grew up and he did many miracles, many different things, but he come for one reason alone. We said that this morning. He come to seek and to save that which was lost. He had one goal on his mind when he stepped out of heaven. And he come to Mary's womb. He was born. He had one goal on his mind and he set forth to do it. And at the end, he allowed them to take him to the old rugged cross. They didn't have to drag him there. They come to him. He told them to put up his swords, put up their spears, and put up everything. They didn't have to make him go. He said, I'll go.
Yes.
He said, I'll go right with you.
Amen.
And they carried him, and he stood before Pilate, and he could have said many things as Pilate accused him. The people accused him. He could have stood there before that judge and said, you're wrong. I didn't say one thing like that. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. But it says he kept his mouth shut as he preached here. As he preached Jesus here. It said he was let me get back to my scripture right here. It says, he like a led a sheep to the slaughter like a dumb lamb before the shears. Kept his mouth shut the whole time.
Right.
He knew what was coming. He knew that they were going to nail him to that cross. Right. He knew the agony and the pain that he was going to have to go through. But he stood there before Pilate.
Yeah, man.
And I could just see him just standing there. And they said, you said this and you said that. I could just see my Savior. God Himself who come out. Jesus Christ just stood there and let them accuse Him. Then they took Him up to old Golgotha's Hill after they done beat Him and put with the cat of nine tails. And one day I want to make one. I've got it in my mind. I want to make one. I want to show you what it was like. I want to show you what they did to Christ. And they took that old leather strap with nine little tails, and at the end of that little tails was different types of metals, different types of glass, whatever they could get on it. And they, I could see them strapping my Savior to an old post or something. He never said a word, never screamed out in agony. And when that first stripe come around there, and I preached this before here, I can imagine Him thinking about me and you.
Yes, brother.
My Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I can imagine that thing coming around and hitting Him. He didn't say a word. I can imagine, though, as He stood there, tears coming down His face.
Amen.
And He says, I love Him so much.
Amen.
I can see it going through His mind, and Him thinking, it's soon be over. But they took Him all up Golgotha's Hill, and He drug that old cross up that hill.
Right.
He laid it down on that ground. And I don't think they had to take Jesus and say, get down there, and force Him down there.
Right.
Many of such times when I have to lock somebody up, we have to put our hands on people. We have to get rough with them. We have to get the hands. They don't want to go. They don't want to go to jail. I don't know nobody ever want to go to jail. You have to put your hands on them sometime. I don't think they had to do Jesus like that. I imagine when they laid that cross down there, Jesus said, whoa, I'll go ahead and lay down. And I can imagine Him laying down there and sticking His hand out on that thing. And I can imagine Him taking that old spike and laying it on His hand.
Right.
He could have snatched His hand away. They could have had to hold His hands there, but they didn't. I can imagine Him just laying His hand there, and when they drove it, and He come down with that hammer and hit that thing and drove it through His hand. Not once do you read about Him ever crying out in agony. His mind was on me and you. His mind was on a day that we would be together.
Yes,
a day
amen.
When he was looking
heaven.
Forward to that day when we'd be with Him in heaven.
Heaven.
And then they took that other hand and drove that nail through it and then took His feet. I don't like nothing. Painful situations mess with your feet. And they took both of His feet and drove them nails through it, drove that nail through it. And I can imagine as they lifted that cross up, the men got together and they lifted up, and the blood's coming from His hand. The blood's, He didn't even look like a man, and
right.
The blood's coming from Him, and it's dripping already. And then they sit up in that hole. When it comes down, the pain that comes as His body cells, and every joint in His body comes, His bones comes out of joint in His body. Him just hanging there in front of everybody. Shame. He took our sins. He was our sins. There He hung. Like that serpent in the wilderness. There He hung on that cross. He hung there minute after minute just thinking about us. And then finally He said, it is finished.
Yes,
and it was finished. He didn't have to break His legs. He gave it up. He gave it up freely.
Right.
He gave it up.
Right.
And then He said, He come back and He rose the third day, and that's why I'm so excited up here this morning. He rose and He gave me an opportunity to get saved when I was a teenager.
Yes, amen.
It's something worth shouting about tonight.
Yeah,
it's something about worth getting happy about.
Yeah,
I'm amazed that God saves old sinners.
Right.
I'm so glad He did send somebody my way when I was a teenager and I could just kneel down beside that old tub. And I've told y'all about that in my house. But then He come back and He arose that third day, and then he talked with him. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, I'm coming back for you.
Yeah, man.
And I was sitting there studying this, and I was thinking about Jesus, and He got on it and talked about it a little bit, and I can imagine going what a good day it's going to be when we get to heaven.
Amen.
I was sitting there thinking about it this morning, some friends and family that's going on. And I got a granddaddy that I think he got saved. I got a grandmother that says she got saved, and they're passed on, and I miss them so much sometimes. And I'm looking forward to walking into heaven to see them. I've got some dear friends from this church. A dear man of God that used to sit back here in the back, and his wife,
right.
Mr. Goss, Mr. Robert Goss and all, and I miss him so much sometimes.
Yes.
I just love that man. He just, there's something about him.
Yeah. Right.
Brother John, you remind me so much of him. And one day I'm going to get to walk on the streets of gold, and there
yeah,
he's going to be. Him and Miss Bertha.
Yeah.
And as I was thinking about this, I thought about the day the Hunsucker's here. Just sitting down with Miss Ruth this morning, and I was telling her how much we loved her. You could just see the agony in her face and the agony in her heart. And she's lost a son. Now, I can't stand up here and say that I know what you're going through, because I've not lost a child yet. But God said one day He's coming back.
Yes,
there'll be a reunion in heaven.
Yes,
you'll see your son again, and I'll see my family again, and I'll see my friends again.
Amen.
What a reunion that'll be.
Amen.
But more than that,
praise the Lord.
More than that, greater than that, is to stand there and look up at streets of gold. And there stands our Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who came and died on the cross and gave us opportunity. What a great day that's going to be when we stand there and there He is. And Paul was standing there and we said, move away, Paul. There's Jesus. And I can see us going up to Moses, and there's Moses, the one we read about, and Abraham and all. And we said, move, Moses, move, Abraham. There's my Savior right there. There's the one who died for me right there. I want to shake His hand. I want to bow before Him today and tell Him what a great God He is. What a great day. He said He preached Jesus. And that's what I want you to realize today. There's a Savior that loves you so much today. And there'll be a reunion. But more than that, there's a Jesus that loves you today. There's a Savior who's begging you. If you're lost here today, if you have never come to this altar and realize you're a sinner, I beg you to come tonight. God loves you so much. And you might have friends and family that go on, and all the way you'll get to see them is you come here and get saved. But more than that, the only way you get to see Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, is to come here and give your heart to Him. He died for you tonight. He loves you tonight. And I beg you to come to Him. What a great time that's going to be. Jesus Christ, what a great name. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. I think it was Isaiah said it. He was wonderful. What a wonderful Savior we serve. What a great honor it is to be able to come here to church and to worship Him. Let us pray. Our dear and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You tonight for the time to come be in Your house. I thank You for the opportunity to preach. I thank You for Preacher Scott and Preacher David, God, what You've done in their life, and I thank You for them. I pray You be with Preacher David now as he preaches. God, I pray You give him the message from on high. But God, I thank You tonight for being my Savior. Thank You for all You've done for me. I'm so excited tonight. It's just feels like it's bubbling over inside, and I'm looking for that reunion one day when I get to meet my family and my friends that have went on. But more than that, what a great day that's going to be. But more than that, it's the day that I get to see Your face. And I get to see those nail prints in Your hands, and that's where Your side was, the spear stuck in Your side. And I get to cast some crowns. I hope I have some. God, I want to be everything You want me to be, like the preacher said before. I want to be that one that stands in the hedge, and I want to be able to have some crowns to cast at Your feet, because You're such a wonderful Savior. God, we love You tonight, and we thank You.